Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Ruth, good to see you. You want to introduce your friend to us?
This is Debbie Lynch. Debbie, this is Jessica Owen.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome. Happy to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're looking forward to worshiping together tonight. And we have at least one family that's not here because their daughters were exposed to COVID this week. One of Renee's best friends at school, her sister and mother both had COVID, and so as a precaution, she's tested positive just recently. And Thursday or Friday?
Saturday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
So, as a precaution. Jeff and Janelle and the girls stayed home. And I think we thank them for that. We're sorry that it has to be that way because we enjoy having people together. But maybe they will zoom in with us, or maybe they have. I don't know. I can't see. No one's on Zoom.
Not yet.
Okay. So if they do, that's fine. But they don't, they'll worship anyway. So, trust that we have a great time together. Let's pray. Let's sit. Father in heaven, how wonderful you are, how glorious, how much we praise and glorify your name. We're so grateful for your love for us, your kindness, your goodness, your generosity. You sent Jesus, and we're so grateful for that. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for all that you accomplished in your life, your suffering, your death, and your resurrection, and your ascension. And we appreciate that you intercede for us at the right hand of the Father to this very day. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight. We invite you to have your way. We invite you to surprise us in how you break in and take over our time together. We're here to honor you, and to honor Almighty God. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. I see. Welcome. Jeff, you know. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? For a concern?
Just to thank you that we can all be here and praise God and that he can come through us and work through us and hopefully that we can be. People that I used to babysit for used to tell the kids, little lights of Jesus, little lights of Jesus. And hopefully we can always do that. Just hopefully we can
see. Right. So Lindy's thankful that we can be together and worship. Be encouraged to become little lights of Jesus to the people around us. Sounds like you got the sermon. Yes.
This morning I was able to lose my baptism, and that was very, very special.
That's awesome. Very supportive. That is very special.
My Aunt Betsy has been back to the ICU because of oxygen from COVID complications. So we have her in prayer.
Okay, Jeremy's Aunt Betsy is back in ICU.
They're regulating oxygen.
Regulating oxygen due to COVID. So let's pray for her. I'm repeating things for people on Zoom. They can't hear the audience. Oh, okay. This is interesting. I just got a text from Kevin. Would you say a prayer for my mom and my aunt? I think it's Patsy. They were in a real bad accident and were banged up mad. My mom might have to have surgery. And so sorry to bother you while you're busy. Well, he bothered me at the perfect time.
Exact right time.
So you'll allow me to respond to a text, which I don't usually do. church. Chose the perfect time by just ask for prayer concerns in church, and we will pray.
In addition to just praying for Betsy's physical healing, we're praying for spiritual awakening, just moving it to the highest priority in that.
Okay. So our prayers for physical healing for Jeremy's aunt. We also pray for for salvation.
Pat, I would like to thank God for all who are counseling my job. And I guess, amen.
I'm sorry, my name is Pat, and what? And I'd like to thank God for
just very grateful for a lot of new accounts opening up in his job.
Accounts,
okay. Oh, okay.
Very positive thing. So.
Great, new accounts.
I have a new spokesperson.
You hired a marketing firm and didn't know it. Public relations. We pray for jobs and better jobs. Okay. Yeah, I have a little test I'm taking tomorrow morning. Called the stress test. And so I'm looking for good results. Follow-up appointment will be October 26th or 28th. I forget which. It's one of those. So. Well, let's take a couple minutes to pray, a few minutes to pray, whatever it takes to pray. And any of these things that are on your heart that you would like to bring to the Lord, be free to pray out about, and I'll close in a few minutes.
We just bring Kevin's mother and family to you tonight, as they were in an accident, that you would be with the doctors and just bring healing and protection upon them and those involved.
Thank you for letting friends and family accept Jesus into their life, be their Lord and Savior through baptism. May they experience wonderful joy and peace and love and hope that comes with that, and just deep personal love. Jesus Christ.
Aunt Betsy, to you, just ask for your touch on her physically and spiritually, and just pray to bring healing to her lungs and her body, and that she'll encounter you in a way that she never has before.
Father, we do thank you for being present in our lives and for showing love and compassion toward us. We believe that you brought us together for a purpose here tonight and in the weeks that we meet and the time we're together. We believe it's to do good. We believe it's to encourage us and to for us to be encouragement to others. And so as we lift these people to you, these concerns that we need, these celebrations and the joys of jobs and better jobs, of baptisms, of healing, faith, of health and life, and request for health and life, we know that you care. We know that you're involved. We know that you are the healer and the provider, the giver, and the sustainer of life. And so we come to you with great joy, with great anticipation to see how you continue to work, how you continue to be faithful in our lives and in the lives of those we know and love. Thank you. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Imagine using God and reckless in the same sentence. Yeah. I won't go to that sermon. Okay. Very good. Anybody want to do a children's story? But do you ever think about getting older? We call it growing up. And about maybe what you want to do with your life, what you want to be, where you want to live. Well, what kinds of things do you think about or dream about or hope for? Do you know what you want to be? What do you want to be? Or is it a secret? I'm sorry? A hairstylist, okay. A firefighter or a police officer? Okay. Don't know. I've heard some ideas in the past that change. They do that. And you know, it's okay if they change. Because you said, I heard of a child one time who watched the space shuttle launch into space. It was when the shuttle went up at night, and this family lived close enough that when it took off from Cape Kennedy in Florida, that they could see the light in the sky, just at the bottom edge of the sky, it came up and turned and went on its way. And that child said, when I grow up, can I ride the space shuttle? And that child's father said, yeah, he can. And then some years later, not all that many years later, a shuttle went up and it exploded. And everybody in it died from the explosion and the crash. And that same child asked that child's daddy, do I have to ride the space shuttle when I get up, grow up? And that child's daddy said, no, you don't. So it's okay to change your ideas. You don't have to follow through and do what you think you might want to do when you're your age, when you become your mom's age, or your dad's age, or your aunt or uncle uncle's age, or your grandpa's age, or your grandma's age, or older. Okay? I want to tell you the story of an apple. And this apple had ideas about its future and what it wanted to be. The little apple clung tightly to the branch as a gentle breeze blew by. An older apple, noticing the younger apple, noticing the younger apple's despair, chuckled and said, "Looks like you're holding onto that branch for dear life, little buddy." The little apple glanced up at the older apple and said, "I am. I don't want to fall to the ground. Don't you know it's hard and dusty down there? The ground is filled with worms and creepy crawling bugs. Well, just take a look for yourself. Can't you see all the rotten apples down there?" The older apple thought for a moment and then replied, "I know you're concerned about falling from the tree, but some good things have come from the ground." "That's not the light for me," retorted the little apple. "I plan on being handpicked by a special family, taken to their home, and placed into a beautiful fruit bowl. With my shiny red skin, I shall be the most delicious looking piece of fruit in the entire bowl." The older apple gently replied, "Oh, there's much more to being an apple than just having shiny red skin." "Yes, I know," the little apple quickly interrupted. "One of the children will probably take me to school for lunch, or perhaps have me for a snack after school. He or she will know that I was more than just a beautiful apple with a shiny red peel. He or she will find out that my fruit is great tasting and healthy for him or her." "Yes, yes, you could be all those things for a season," the older apple tried to reply. But once again, the little apple broke in. "But after he or she has finished eating the fruit, then all that is left is my core. He or she will, the little apple's voice dropped. "Will probably throw my core in the trash. "Yes," replied the older apple. "That is what your life could be like if you decide to live for the moment and choose to reap the quick rewards." "Whatever do you mean?" asked the little apple. "What other life is there?" The older apple spoke. "I've been trying to tell you to just slow down for a moment and listen. But please hurry, as it appears that the wind is picking up again," the little apple said nervously. Soothingly, the older apple exclaimed, "When the winds come, you may be shaken from the tree and fall to the ground. It is then that your shiny red skin will keep you from splitting apart and becoming applesauce. Once on the ground, a hungry bird or squirrel may find you and carry you away from the base of the tree. Once you've met its needs and filled its stomach, it shall leave your core and a little fruit behind. Then your real work begins." "That doesn't sound a bit better," the little apple screeched. "In fact, it sounds worse." "Please allow me to finish," the little apple said sternly. "Once you're left on the ground, the rest of your fruit shall slowly rot and blend into the soil. And it's at this point that your seeds will be buried in the earth. For some period of time, the seeds will remain in the earth. But then ever so slowly, something wonderful begins to happen. The seeds begin to sprout, breaking through the dirt. The sunlight and the rain help the sprout to grow into a small tree. Within a few seasons, the tree will be big enough to start producing apples of its own. And from that season on, the tree will produce hundreds of apples each season. So you see, little apple, there's so much more you can be." All the little apple could say was, "Wow!" As the winds picked up, you could see both the apples swinging in the breeze, hoping beyond hope to fall to the ground and begin their life's work. Our lives can be very much like the apples. We can choose to live for the moment and fulfill our own plans and desires. The plans we have for our lives may be good, but God always has a better plan for us if we're patient, if we take the time, and if we listen to what he softly tells us. He can surround ourselves with many things. We can surround ourselves with many things to make us comfortable. But at the end, these things only last for a season. Or we can use the time, talent, and money God gave us for his purpose and his glory. It's only then that we reach our full potential. And we might reach our full potential by being a policeman or a fireman or a hairstylist or, I don't know, an engineer or a computer programmer or something else. But we need to listen as we're thinking about what we enjoy doing, ask God what he wants us to do too. And then watch how he opens doors and allows things to happen in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have given us abilities and talents and desires, and it's your good pleasure to see us use them for your glory. I pray for these children that as they grow, they will be attentive to your voice and hear leading. And as they choose professions, as they choose life choices of maybe someone to marry, or a place to live, or a job, or a career, or a ministry, that they'll hear what your voice says and what you want for them, and that that will bring them the most joy. And they'll say yes to you and to your plan every step of the way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. Collisions. There's a new book in our Bibles. It's called Collisions. Have you run into it? You're about to tonight. Ooh, wonder who typed that. My secretary. Gonna have to have a word with him. Secretary, you gotta do better next time. My apologies.
It was probably autocorrect.
It might have autocorrected. Okay. You know, I've heard it first hesitations already, but collisions, that's a new one. Let's try Colossians 1:15-23. A couple weeks ago, I talked about knowing who we are. Then I came across this passage in preparation for this evening, and I thought, it'd be okay to talk about who Jesus is. Maybe be good. So the Son, that's Jesus, that's not that round object in the sky, is spelled correctly here. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So I always think it's interesting when people talk about God, what he's like. We can learn a lot about people, I think, by their understanding of God. And we often get the idea from Benzel, who we talk to, obviously, but it seems that there's a preponderance of people who see God as stern and angry, and vindictive, perhaps, just waiting for the chance to plunk people off the edge of the precipice of life into hell, into the abyss. And I believe nothing can be further from the truth of who God is. The Bible tells us that God is love. And that the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, temperance, faith. That's God. That's his character. That's who he is. So do we equate God with joy and gentleness and goodness and peace and kindness? We should, because that's his character. If his spirit is, if the evidence of his spirit, the fruit of his spirit, the fruit on the tree tells you what kind of tree it is. Okay. I've never come up to an apple tree and saw a pear growing on it. I've never come up to a persimmon tree and saw a grape growing on it. Okay. The fruit tells us about the tree and its character. And so the fruit of the Spirit tells us about God and his character. And now the scripture says the Son is the image of the first of the invisible God. So if you want to see God, look at Jesus. Now we see Jesus as kind, as benevolent, as a healer, as one who loves. And then we talk about God as being stern and harsh and judgmental. The two don't go together. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And now Colossians is telling us that the Son is the image of God. So if we've seen Jesus, we've seen God. And if you ever want to know what God's like, read about Jesus and how he treated people. He never did anything he didn't see his Father doing. He never said anything he didn't hear his Father say. All of these are scriptures that I'm quoting. So he's the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Wow. Jesus was present and involved with creation. John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything was created through him, through the Word. God spoke the Word, and life came into being, and creation appeared out of nothing. And so it was Jesus that was involved. He is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. He's the Word of God that we can see in the scriptures. And he was the creator. He was involved in that creation of everything. 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 A couple weeks ago, we talked about no thing. Now we're talking about everything. Okay? So there's no thing left out of everything. he's in it all. Amazing God. Visible or invisible, heaven or earth, they were created in him and through him, for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay. Now, this is interesting because we look at a particular date in history and say, this is the day Jesus was born. Now, we don't know the exact date, but we celebrated on December 25th. And instead of at the year zero or the year one, it was probably like 4 or 6 years BC. I don't know how you can be before Christ if you are Christ. But that's for whoever set up the calendar to decide. But whatever year, we look at an historical event and say that's when Jesus was born. So we then assume that's when his life began. But he told the Jewish leaders, before Moses was, I am. Okay. Now, how can that be? Can only be if you're God. And what we need to understand is God is infinite. He has no beginning. He has no end. So he has no middle. He just exists. You know, God's not middle-aged. God's not aged because he's not involved in time. I mean, he's not controlled by time, let me put it that way. He created time. We live in a dimension of time, but he lives outside of that. He's not governed by time. Scripture tells us that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So for him to go back and forth in time, for him to know the end from the beginning, doesn't mean he planned it, doesn't mean he orchestrated it. It means he knows it. And we have to leave it at that. We can start making excuses. Well, if he knew it, he could change it. And then, oh, but then it wouldn't be what he knew, would it? You know, I can't understand God. If I could understand God, if I could explain God, I'd be bigger than God, wouldn't I? He'd fit in my box. But God doesn't fit in my box. I keep learning things about God that just knock the walls out of my box. So I think I'm a lot better off if I see God as a list. And then when he does something new or when I learn something new about it, oh, I add that to my list. Doesn't knock the walls out of my box. Doesn't upset my world. It doesn't make me rethink my whole theology. It's just, here's something new about God. He's kind. He's generous. He's faithful. He's here. You know, he's here tonight. Yeah. Yeah. We're not always aware of his presence. Jacob woke with a sore thigh. He said, surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. And he wrestled with the angel all night. Surely God was in this place, and I didn't know. Just a little personal aside. I was visiting a church one time that I visited periodically in my life. It was not a church that I had a lot of great admiration for or felt was a very spiritual place or one that I particularly wanted to be a regular part of. One particular Sunday morning, I went to that church, and the church bulletin was there, and I picked it up, and I read the cover, and it was a Bible verse, and it said, surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. Maybe I need an attitude adjustment sometimes about God and about where he is and about what he's involved in and what's important to him. Yeah. Maybe the most important thing in my life is not to have been at church tonight. Maybe it would have been more important for me to be with somebody in need. Maybe Kevin needed my company. I needed to be here. I'm not saying that's the case. Just trying to use examples of how God breaks in and surprises us sometimes with things that are outside our box. Because if I have a box, this is part of it. Being here Sunday nights is part of who I am. It's part of my identity. It's part of what I do. And it's different when I'm not here. You can say that same thing too. It's different when you're not here. You may not think about it, but we miss you when you're not here. Yeah. And there are good reasons not to be here. I'm not saying everyone should be here every night, although I love it when we are. But, you know, things come up in life, and sometimes God's in it. Sometimes I'm just being obstinate and I should have been here. And I learned that later, too. So, you know, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If you take Jesus out of the equation, what's left? Where's the glue that holds your life together? Where's the purpose of living? If all we do is eat, drink, be merry, and die, what's the point? If there isn't more to life than this, I think we're missing out. I think we're being shortchanged. What do we get? 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? 110, 120 maybe? Occasionally, I forget the last time I heard somebody was 120. And then if death is the end and there's nothing after that, did I accomplish? But Jesus says, there is more. That's what the resurrection tells us. There is more. That's what his ascension tells us. There's more. And there's more to life. And that's why we live this life. And that's why Jesus is an important part of the equation of our life, because it's as we're in him that we're held together. In him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. I don't know a more complete way of saying Jesus is number one. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yeah. And we have access to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We have relationship, not just access. You know, there are people that have access to the present, but that doesn't mean they have a relationship with him. But there are people that have a relationship with the president, and they have an opportunity to influence the president and to be influenced by him. Now, take the name of who the president is at the time, whether you like him or not. But that's maybe the best equivalent we have in our society about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we have a relationship with Jesus. We have not just access, we have intimacy with him. Intimacy, into me see. Okay, that's what intimacy is. We get to see the inside scoop. We get to know what's going on. We get to know who he is, what he's about, what his motives are, why it's important. And as we, the better we know Jesus, the more we love him, the more committed we are to him, the more passionately we want to please him with our lives, with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions. And the more we want to see others learn to know him. When I have a really good friend, and I think that another friend of mine would benefit from learning to know that friend, I'm going to introduce him. Well, if Jesus is your really good friend, don't you think other people around you who benefit from knowing him like you do? Introduce him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You sang that song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. For God was pleased. This is a mouthful. To have all his fullness dwell in him. Do you comprehend that? The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Actually dwells in Jesus. There's no part of God that's not in Jesus. It was all there. It's all there for us to see. It's not like this is the good front of God. He's putting his best foot forward. He wants you to see his nice side. No, he's holding back. No. The fullness of God. Everything, nothing held back in Jesus. Through him. That he was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. If Jesus' blood shed on the cross made peace, there had to be war. And there was war. We sang about your love was active toward me while I was your foe, something to that effect. Can I remember that? Yeah. While we were still then, God showed his great love for us in this. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. We were God's enemies. Before we came to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were anti-Christian. We were not Christian. We might have attended church. We might have done the right things, maybe said some right words, but our hearts weren't pure. We were in it for what we could get out of it. We weren't in it because we were in love with the Savior. We weren't in it because how can we further your cause, Lord? How can we bless you? How can we honor you? How can I bring glory to you? And without Christ, it's all about me. But I know Christ, it's all about him. So Jesus was sent to make peace with us, with the world, with all of creation. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. What I just said. This is not a good place to be. Alienated from God, enemies of God. Oh boy. An enemy of God. Remember what I said about Satan? Fighting against God. It's like an ant saying to a steamroller,
you want to fight?
Guess who's going to win? now. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. He's reconciled us. Reconciliation is an accounting term. Okay, you have debits and credits in accounting, and it's your checkbook. It's the same thing. You got debits and you got credits. Credits are when you make a deposit. Debits are when you write a check. You take money out. And you want those to balance. You don't want more debits than you got credits. Okay? You want to know that at the end of the month, there's a balance in your account, and it's in the black. It's positive number. Okay? The problem was, we have an account with God, and it's based on who we are, our actions, our hearts, our motives, our character. And without Christ, everything was a debit. We ran up a tab that we couldn't possibly pay off. We were so far in debt to God, we were beyond bankrupt. We were alienated from God. There was no way we can reconcile our lives to his. And if you're not reconciled to God, being reconciled to God means you're in jive with him. Okay? You fit together. You mesh. You belong together. There was nothing I could do to bridge that gap. God knew that. And so he sent Jesus. And he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The blood of Jesus paid for all my debts, sins, transgressions, dead batteries that kept me separated from God. Okay? And I couldn't possibly bridge that gap. I couldn't reconcile the account. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't lay my firstborn on the altar and say, God, I give him to you in place of my debt. God said, no, that isn't it. That doesn't work. Your firstborn isn't any better than you are. So God said, my firstborn. My firstborn will lay on the altar. My firstborn will shed his blood. My firstborn will pay the price, will bridge the gap, will reconcile you to me, will get rid of your sins, your transgressions, your deficit, your accusations, your blemish, will make you holy and reconcile you to me. All you have to do is put your hope and your trust and your faith in him. And then continue in that relationship the rest of your life. And as you do, Romans tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been washed and cleansed. We've been reconciled, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, so that we can be about the business of
bringing others into reconciliation with God through Jesus and what he's done. The door wasn't open just for me and for us. It's for anyone who will come. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And I would hope, my prayer is that each of us can put our name in there and that we can say, of which I, Earl, have become a servant. Of which I, your name, have become a servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your love so far outweighed your need for vengeance. That your justice was outshined by your mercy. That in your mercy and in your love, you sent Jesus, your firstborn, to take my place on the cross, to shed his blood, so that mine could be cleansed and purified and made holy. Oh, Father, I pray that for each one of us here tonight, and each one that we love and care about, that Jesus' death, his suffering, was not in vain. But if it was effective and powerful and life-giving to each of us because we've accepted him, we've welcomed him, we've built and cultivated a relationship with him through your Holy Spirit, and are able to enter into your very presence, to come before your throne with boldness and make our request known. So my request tonight is that each one of us would be so permeated with the love of Christ that we would be compelled to be reconciled ourselves, but then to be about the business of reconciliation as we go through our lives. As we go, may we be reconcilers among those we meet and interact with. Come, Holy Spirit, continue your awesome work in each of our lives, I pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thank you.